Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, some years ago, a friend wrote to the Russian author Turgenev, telling him that he felt the most important thing in life was to put oneself in second place. Turgenev replied to his friend, "I suspect that the most difficult and important decision in life is to decide what to put in first place." With the beginning of Jesus' ministry, there was no question. Immediately after his baptism, which marked the beginning of Jesus' active earthly ministry, our Lord stood up in the synagogue at Nazareth and read from the scroll the words of the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." For Jesus, there was no question about what he was anointed to do. And with a single-minded purpose, he began the fulfillment of that task. Jesus is bringing the kingdom of God. This, our reading, our gospel reading, is his inaugural speech, his plan, the blueprints of what he wants to see happen on earth. Today we talk about the petition, "Thy kingdom come." When we ask for the coming of the kingdom, we are again asking for a gift that God wants to give. The kingdom has indeed already been revealed in Jesus, but there is a sense in which it is still underground, it's still hidden, like in those parables of the yeast in the unrisen dough or a valuable treasure buried in a field. The kingdom's fullness is still to be revealed. There's a story I read about a father who took his young son, Will, to see a reenactment of the Civil War battle. He didn't realize that Will was sensitive to loud noises, and the booming cannons and the rifles, they terrified him. During a break in the action, Will's dad calmed him down and assured him that the weapons were fake. And it looked like everything would be okay until one of the generals raised his sword and shouted, "Fire at Will!" At that point, Will went home. Lots of things sound scary when they're taken out of context. And if we don't understand the context of the story from the Bible, then we might misunderstand what Jesus is telling us to do. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, well, it was one of Jesus' favorite topics. He talked about that more than anything. The kingdom of God. Jesus lived and died to transform this world, to bring about the kingdom of God on earth. "Thy kingdom come," he taught. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus' followers are to proclaim that kingdom as Jesus proclaims it, which means coming to know the kingdom for what it is. Jesus teaches us that. He proclaims that. For his mission statement, we hear that kingdom coming. We hear on the Sermon on the Plain from Luke, which opens with the promises of the kingdom being inherited by the poor. The kingdom is what Jesus puts first, and that kingdom is you and me. So, what are you praying for when you say, "Thy kingdom come"? Is it hope, or is it a call to action, or maybe both? The kingdom is both a gift and something for which we strive, a place we want to enter, and in which we hope to live. So our prayer for its coming is also a prayer that we would know how to be equipped to be citizens of that kingdom now and the kingdom to come. So there's some tension that we live in, right? The tension of already and not yet, right? That's the kingdom to come and the kingdom that's just not quite here, but the kingdom that we live in now. As Jesus' inaugural speech says, he is bringing the kingdom of God through his ministry. And it's the work that Jesus has been given and the work that Jesus gives us to fulfill that duty as well, that kingdom. So God's kingdom exists wherever God's will is done. In Luke 17, verse 21, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." The Greek here can be translated in different ways. The kingdom of God is within you, or the kingdom of God is in the midst of you, or the kingdom of God is among you. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is already happening all around you because Jesus says, "I have come." Don't miss the kingdom opportunities that we have today. Wherever justice is promoted in Jesus' name, the kingdom comes. Wherever human suffering is alleviated in Jesus' name, the kingdom comes. Wherever we share Jesus' love and forgiveness and mercy and grace in Jesus' name, the kingdom comes. I share an old story about a little boy who was riding a bus across town. He was huddled close to an exquisitely dressed lady and was swinging his legs out and in the aisle when he accidentally rubbed his shoe against the woman who sat across from him. Angrily, she protested to the lady next to whom he sat, "Pardon me, but would you make your little boy remove his dirty feet from my seat?" Well, the well-dressed lady took a hard look at that young boy, as if she hadn't even been aware of his presence, and gave him a shove and said, "He's not my boy. I've never seen him before." Embarrassed, the little boy moved far away and sunk down in his seat as if to try to shrink from view. It was obvious that he was fighting back tears. "I'm sorry," he said to the lady whose dress he had gotten dirty. "I didn't mean to." The lady was no longer angry, and she felt badly for the way that she responded to the boy. "That's all right," she said. "Are you going somewhere alone?" He lowered his head and answered, "Yes, I always travel alone. My mommy and daddy, well, they're both dead, so I live with my Aunt Maggie. But when she gets tired of me, she sends me to Aunt Elizabeth." The lady asked sympathetically, "Are you on your way to Aunt Elizabeth now?" The child answered, "Yes. But Aunt Elizabeth is hardly ever home. But I hope she's home today because it's awfully cold." "You sure are young to be riding a bus alone," said the lady. "It's okay," said the boy. "I never get lost, but sometimes I get awfully lonesome. So when I see someone I'd like to belong to, I sit real close to them and pretend they're my family. That's what I was doing when I got your dress dirty. I forgot all about my feet." The lady moved over to that little boy, and she put her arms around him. He just wanted badly to belong to someone. Isn't that the greatest need that all of us have? What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of heaven except the knowledge that we belong in the family of God? The kingdom of God is being in the presence of the people we love and the people that love us, and in the presence of God. It is the kingdom now, but we know it's not perfect. The kingdom of God that we experience now is just a foretaste of the kingdom yet to come. The kingdom that Revelation 21 reminds us, that Bill read, of the kingdom still to come. I've always loved the book of Revelation, especially chapter 21, because of the hope it brings. It reminds us of perseverance and faithfulness in the face of trials, that in the kingdom of God, there is no chaos or fear, no mourning or crying or pain. This is especially hopeful for someone who has lost a loved one. This kingdom is a place that we come to live in forever with God and God's peace. There is great significance in this petition of the Lord's Prayer when we are asking for God's kingdom to come because of both a hope for that future and a call to action now. The kingdom is a gift now and something that we strive for, a place we want to enter. And remember, this petition is part of a longer prayer that Jesus teaches us. Prayer is powerful. We are not praying into a void, no matter how unjust or corrupt we may think this world is. We are called to be workers with God in establishing the kingdom of God on earth. And it will require courage to never give up, the commitment to pray for God's purposes, God's will, God's wisdom, and the calling to act as Jesus would to bring about that kingdom. And may God find us faithful in the work of the kingdom until that day that Jesus fulfills his promise. Amen.